Hallelujah. It's a blessing to see all of you this morning, and I'm privileged to be here by the grace of God. As Charlie has said, my name is Charles Kaloki from Nairobi, Kenya. Currently serving as the ASK director for the ASK Network International in Africa. And praising God that I'm here in the ASK meeting for the ASK UK to come and be a blessing and to come and ask together with you. I'm an asker, so I am at home when it comes to asking. Amen. I like to be able to say a few things about what ASK is doing in Africa, and then I will talk briefly about the asking for revival. As all of you have read, ASK is a global prayer network which brings Christians from all denominations to pray and ask God for their churches, communities, cities, and nations. ASK is a network and not an organization, networking askers from different continents, nations, cities together to ask from God. The vision is very clear, is gathering all nations, all generations to pray for all nations, asking God to do what only He can do and doing what He asks us to do. And therefore, the vision is divided into, can say, four areas which are very key. The first one is gathering. That's what we are doing today, gathering. This is the initiating action. This is the initiating action to put God's purpose in place. When you see the gathering, it means that this is an initiating action. This is where it all begins. We cannot be together unless we gather. Jesus, as a chief shepherd, is gathering the children unto God. We read in Luke 13:34, Jesus going to Jerusalem and saying, "How often I've wanted to gather you." The Lord desires to gather us together that we may be able to ask of Him. Today we are living in a world where many Christians think they can be able to go to heaven by themselves. But that is not Christianity. That's another religion. Christianity is about gathering, the gathering of His people. So it begins by us gathering together. God is a gatherer and is calling us to gather His people together unto Him. From the book of Isaiah 56:8, is calling us. So the call of asking is gathering all generations. And the talks about gather my saints together in Psalms 50:5. He who gathers does not gather with me, scatters. The Lord is calling us to gather. Luke 11:23. The final place where we shall be, it is when the Lord Jesus will be coming from the glory, and He will send the angels to the four corners of the earth to gather the church. So the final place of the church is the gathering together in the presence of the Lord, and forever we shall be. That is a place. And therefore, any Christian who has a problem with the gathering of other Christians should check himself or herself, because the Lord desires the gathering of His people. Now, gatherings bring about sending. Gathering brings about sending, which brings again gathering. It's a cycle. So we gather, the Lord sends us to go and gather. So it is about that. Gathering is a spiritual power of the body. So the Lord He's saying to us that gathering is a spiritual power of the body. That when we gather, when the Christian, the children of God gather, the kingdom of the devil trembles. Hallelujah. Amen. I know I'm speaking to people who are very quiet. In Africa, people shout. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, sometimes when I come over here and the other nations in the West, but I know you are receiving. That's a good thing about you. You are quiet but receiving. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says in Acts 2, when they had gathered together in the upper room, when they had gathered together in the upper room, the Holy Spirit came upon them when they had gathered together. And one is very interesting is that the people who never came for the gathering, they never received the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter whether they had a good excuse for not coming, but they never received the Holy Spirit. At least they received later, but not the first time. But those who had gathered in the upper room got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, God is encouraging the gathering of his people. And that is what the calling of ask, and that is what we are doing in Africa. Gathering people from all denominations. Because there's been a lot of division in the body. This denomination, that denomination. But the body of Christ is one. And the gathering of ask is gathering people from all denominations to come, and we ask together from the Lord. Amen. Because you see, in heaven, there will be no side for the white people and the black people. There will be no place for your church and my church. Heaven is one. Hallelujah. It will be the gathering of the people of God. And so as Christian, you need to get used to other Christians. Hallelujah. You need to get used. Because you shall find them in heaven. In the gathering of the Lord, we will be there. Okay? And therefore, it's so important to appreciate and to love the gathering. And Jesus said, he who does not gather with me scatters with me. Yesterday, there was one man who said that where he's staying in his place in Nairobi, Kenya, is gathering the children together. And I felt he is already part of ask. Because ask is about gathering, bringing people together, two people, three people, let's ask together. That is the heart of God. The heart of God is a heart of gathering. Okay? It's not a heart of scattering. And the purpose of gathering in Isaiah 66 verse 18 is that God may demonstrate his glory. God demonstrates his glory when we gather. When we gather together, God speaks. He says, separate for me, Paul and Barnabas. When they had gathered, not at home, there are things God will speak to you at home alone, and there are things God will speak to us when we are gathered. And that is the power of the gathering. The Bible says, I will build my gathering, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gathering is a church. I will build the gathering of my people. The church is a gathering of his people. And when the church gathers together, then there is power. And so that is the first place where it involves. It involves mobilization. It involves bringing other people together. The children, the next generation, the old people, the men. And to ask, not for any other reason, but to ask. Then the next thing is all generation. Ask is a prayer movement of all generation. Okay? It's not a women ministry. It's not a women movement. It's not a men movement. It's not a children movement. It's a movement of all generation. So we are being, all of us are being called. And that is what is so critical for us to realize, that we are all being called to ask. So we are gathering all generations. to pray. The reason why we are being gathered is to pray. Okay, it's not for a political meeting. It's not for a political discussion, but to pray. And so when we gather, we pray for all nations. And we start by praying for the nation God has given you to be born and to be part of. That we have a call to pray for your nation. And to pray for any other nation, God will give you a burden to pray. So in ask, we encourage people to choose any other nation the Lord may lay in your heart to start asking. So you begin with your own nation to ask, asking him to do only what he can do. There are things which only God can do. Okay? There are things which only God can do. And there are things which we must do. What we can do, we don't ask God to do. Okay? That is very important. In Kenya, I find some people asking God to do what he has told them to do. Okay? God can only do some things, and it's only him who can do. The crisis we are now in, the Lord is the only one who can do. There's no politicians. It is overwhelming even to the politicians. But only God can do. And therefore we ask him, we pray, ask him to do only what he can do. We ask in meditation of God's word. We ask in the meditation of God's word. Seeking God's word and asking from that word. I have been following the lawyers, the advocates. And when they go to court, when the advocates go to court and they are before the judge, they always ask, they make prayers. I've been asking, hearing them saying they are making prayers. And they are asking according to the constitution and the law of the land. And therefore, even as when we go before God, we ask according to the constitution of heaven, which is his word. And we make our prayers according to his word. Because a lot of outside that, then we shall be praying from our own bitterness. And we shall be asking from our own what we call motivations. And that is not going to be answered. Heaven understands God's word. Okay? The Bible says your word is forever settled in heaven. And so when you ask according to the word of God, it is in tandem with what is in heaven. The word of God is the constitution of heaven. And therefore, when you make your pleas, then you make them according to the word of God. And that is what God answers. Okay? So, we will be making our asking at the end of this from the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. We'll be asking from there. And maybe you can just open, because it is so important that we learn by action. And just tell others to ask. They're about... In Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, is a place which I want us to ask from, just in a 2 minutes only. Okay? The word say that I urge, I exalt that prayer and supplication and thanksgiving be done for all men. So we're going to ask, this is the first place, asking God for all men. That is asking for good of all men. Now, one of the things I found in the ministry of asking, which has really been a blessing to me, is that every time I start asking for the good of somebody else, I find myself relating with that person better. My relationship with that person improves. And today, as you go to ask for your person seated next to you, you're going to start feeling different about that person. Because the word says that we pray asking for all men. Okay? The next thing, fast for kings and those in authority. That is the second area. Then asking for peace. Then asking for godliness. Asking for godliness. Because when godliness prevails, then the name of the Lord is exalted. Then asking for salvation of all men. And finally, asking that all men come to the knowledge of truth. That is asking that we are going to do just to try. Okay? Just to try. Okay? Because when you have to practice. Okay, can we practice? Can you face your neighbor? And look at 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. And we're going to ask together, just two by two, two by two. Okay? Let's try. Okay? And we are just asking from 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. So you read together, and then from there, you ask. What are you asking? Asking for the good of your neighbor. That's the first one. Is one of the pastor, all men. This one is including women, by the way. Okay? Don't just look for men around. The women are included here. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then for the kings, those in authority, just ask together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just give you 1 or 2 minutes to meditate on that word and ask. Meditate on it and ask. Hallelujah. God, we thank you. We thank you for the asking of all men, that all men may come to the salvation. So that is what we do when we gather together. We get our scripture and we ask from it. And this kind of asking has transformed our asking in Africa. Because a lot of time in Africa, people just shout to God. But through this, we are seeing many people getting very close to the Word of God and getting to ask from the Word of God. And the last thing which happened is that there is action, doing what He asks of us. And that is a place for listening. That's a place for being still. The Lord says, be still, and I know that I'm God. So after you have asked, then you are before God in silence, asking the Lord to speak to you what He desires you to do. This is a place of instruction and giving direction on the asking. Whatever He says to you, do. Jesus' mother said. Jesus' mother, they came to Jesus with an asking. Okay? And then the mother said, whatever He tells you, do it. And let me tell you, the answer came from the doing. The answer of the asking came when they did what they were supposed to do. And a lot of time we ask and God asks us and then we don't be able to do and then we don't get the answer. Jesus said, fill the empty pots with water. And then the action happened and the miracle took place. This is a place of us doing what the Lord asks us to do. Many times in our place of asking, God will ask us. We are not the only one asking Him, He's also asking us. And we need to allow the Lord to ask us. And that is where we are going to get the blessing. Ask Network is involved in outreach and reaching different people groups in the action. This action here is an action point. So it's not just prayer, there's also action. Just want to say about ask in Africa, quickly. Ask in Africa. Okay? So, ask in Africa. Africa has got 54 nations. And we are currently in 14 nations of Africa. We are in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, Congo, Ethiopia, South Africa, Malawi, Zambia, Liberia, Nigeria, Ghana, and Togo. Those are the nations where the Lord has networked us, and we are continuing to trust God to reach out to gather the other nations in the network. Current prayer activities. What are we involved in Africa? There are about 8 areas we are involved in Africa in asking. And these activities include the following. Number one, family asking. Family asking in their homes, mother and father and the children come together to ask. The second asking is daily morning prayers in ask centers. Now, some churches have accepted to become ask centers, where prayer is being done every morning at 5. So at 5 every morning, the community, the people meet in the church to ask the Lord from 5 to 6:30. And that is going on a daily basis, Monday to Saturday. And the other area we are involved is weekly ask prayer partner meeting. The way you have met, the two of you, we are encouraging partners to meet weekly together to ask together. Just for 1 hour. The partners to meet together, the way you have just been asking from Timothy, and you ask together. That is just once a week. The next one is leaders forum. Meeting with the leaders of the nation, like Kenya. We are meeting with leaders in Karen every Thursday for breakfast to ask together. Not church leaders, community leaders and national leaders to ask with them. Sometime we are going to their offices to ask with them, because sometimes they are going through very difficult things and we need to go to their office and ask with them. The other area is monthly ask day apart gathering. Day apart. Day apart is a day of fasting. Once a month, when askers in areas where they are, they meet together for a day apart of prayer and asking. The other one is National Ask Forum. These are once a year, where we are gathering nation by nation once a year to ask together as a nation, and also for training and for networking. Ask is a network. We want to network, want to talk, want to be friends, okay? Because that is a foundation of ask. The next one is an ask, is what we call continental ask conferences. We are having one continental conference in Africa on 22nd October, 26th October in South Africa. That is a conference to bring all the nations of Africa together to ask for the continent of Africa. That is going to be crucial in looking at the continent of Africa. And then the last one which I want to say is ask centers and prayer mountains. We are having many people desiring to climb mountains. Africa, there are many hills and mountains. So we are having ask mountains, where people are climbing the mountains monthly to ask. The beautiful thing about the mountain is very quiet, no disturbance, and the scene is good, and you can enjoy just asking in the bush. Okay? And the last one is number 10, is overnight ask nights. We have got what we call ask nights, where we come together the whole night to ask. Okay? Those are, we call them ask nights, where we spend the whole night asking. What is our growth strategy in Africa? In Africa, we have 7 growth strategy which God has given us. Number 1 is the gathering of the pastor. The pastors have been very key, because pastors are gatherers. They are shepherds. And so using the network of pastors and making them part of the network, then they have been able to introduce their flock, and they have been able to start ask centers in their churches and their communities. The next one has been the network of friends, which we have used to network to other nations. One friend taking us to another friend, to another nation, just network of friends. The third one is we have used the planted churches, we have planted in the nations as ask centers. The fourth one is the students in the school of ministry. We run a school of ministry, and those students come from different nations. So these students become ambassadors of ask. So wherever they go, they take asking with them. The next one is Africa culture. The Africa culture of prayer, praying long hours, has been our advantage. So Africans have been praying loudly and long for many, many, many hours. So when we brought ask to them, it has been a blessing because now it has been able to give them direction. Because they have been praying without direction, just praying the whole night. No word, praying their mind, praying their bitterness, praying their frustration. But now with ask, they are able to pray guarded by the word of God. So this has been our advantage of the culture. The next one is the youth movement. Okay, taking the asking in the college and school has been a great blessing. And this is a place where we have seen the youth accepting the ask, and we have actually created small centers in colleges where students are enjoying. By the way, students in Africa are enjoying asking. Because before, they used to think that prayer is for some hardened creatures who have got hard skin and who are called intercessors, who pray and who are very tough and very spiritual. But as we brought to them asking, they found it so easy that they can ask God. Because it appeals to them, the simplicity, that they can actually ask God, that they can actually talk to Him. And so in the colleges and universities, they are now learning to talk to God, and God talks to them back. And some of them have been testifying, I talked to God yesterday, and God answered me. Very important. The last one is the training. The training of ask has been very key to the asking. Because a lot of it has helped many people to know, why do we pray? Why do we ask? Asking in Jesus' name. Okay? And the last thing I want to say about asking is the results of our asking. By the way, our motto for asking has been push. The word push. Write the word push. The word push. P stands for push. Okay? Oh, it stands for prayer. Okay? P stands for prayer. U stands for until. Okay? S stands for something. And H stands for happen. So our motto has been push. Pray until something happens. Okay? So that has been our motto, to pray and to ask God. So the results we have found in the asking has been the following. Number one, growth in Christian lives. People's lives have grown as they ask God. The next one we have seen is growth of churches. We have seen churches growing because they are now asking. We have seen number three, salvation of members of family. We have seen people, families, brothers, sisters, aunties getting saved because of the asking of the people. The other one we have seen is greater networking of Christians, okay? And then we have also seen healing of marriages and families, and we have seen blessings of people in their provision. And number last one, we have seen security in the nation, stability of national leadership. So those are some of the things we have seen in the asking as we have asked the Lord. And we are seeing this asking as a tool God is giving us as a gift to take revival nation to nation. So this has been our place where we have been asking the Lord to be able to allow us. And I believe our prayer is through asking to bring revival in the nations of Africa. Okay? Because it cuts across denominations. It cuts across boundaries and is able to network as Christians that we may be able to ask and pray for revival. And finally, I just want to just share with you something small about revival. I'll be talking more about revival tomorrow, but I just want to give you something. Amen. Okay. So I want to say that one of the things which we have been crying for in Africa is revival. The cry of our asking is revival. Because we know that we can pray for this and this and this and the other. But we know when revival comes, it will answer all those things. And we know that when we talk about revival, we are talking about revival being the solution to spiritual and moral decay. Okay? Revival is a solution to the spiritual and moral decaying world, as well as answer to the distressed world. That is what revival is. And we say in history, God has molded people who will deal with the challenge of the time. And even in this dispensation, God has created and prepared people who will be able to deal with the challenge of present time. And we say revival is the hand of God on earth that prepares instruments, okay, for the work of God. God uses revival to bring healing and solution to humanity, nations, ministries, and lives. So we stand on a threshold of history like no other. In our darkest hour, our revival, only revival sent by God, can heal humanity today. And so when we look in Revelation 3:17-22, is where really the revival place begin. It speaks Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 to 22. This is a letter to the last church, the church of Laodicea. I know theologians classify these letters differently. I don't know which one was the first one, the second one, according to your theology. But according to me, I look at the church of Laodicea as the current church. You know, the lukewarm church. Okay? The church which is saying, I'm rich. The church which is saying that I need nothing. But God is saying to the church that you are poor, that you are naked, that you are wretched. And the realization of our status, it is going to be the place of our beginning to call for revival. The realization of our poverty, the realization of our wretchedness, the realization of our nakedness is that which is going to open us to crying for revival. And God is saying, come to me and I will be able to give you real riches. And I will give you a garment to cover shame. And I will give you ornament for your eyes, that your eyes may be able to see. And this is the place where we are talking about God bringing us to that realization. And my prayer is that God may bring this realization of our poverty. Of our poverty. Of our poverty. You imagine of our poverty, that the early church, Peter, James had been killed by some terrorist, isn't it? I mean, just classify them as terrorists. James had been killed by the persecutors. And then they took Peter. And they wanted to also kill Peter. But the Bible says prayer was made by the church. And God opened the prison gate and took Peter out. Now, yesterday I watched a sad news of this story here. Of a man from here who has been held, just like Peter was held. And then the church is so poor that we cannot get him out. It's a cry, isn't it? I know the church say the politicians should get him out, but who should get him out? The church should get him out. Peter was gotten out by the prayer of the church. The church prayed him out. And that is a sign of our poverty. That we are so poor that we cannot get things done. That we are so poor that we cannot be, we have to rely on some other people. That's a poverty. And God is saying we need to come to that place to realize that we are poor, that we are not able. So many people today are dying with all kind of sickness, disease, because the church is so poor that they cannot be able to bring healing to their lives. And that is a poverty. Families, Christian families are breaking just because we are so poor that we cannot be able to pray and bring the union of those families. The children, our young children are departing from God just because of our poverty. And that is the place that I have come to realize and reach myself and realize I'm poor. I need revival. And this is where I say revival is not a religion. It's not a nice story or fiction. It is a real encounter and experience with Almighty God. And this is where the Lord gave us a desire to start digging the wells of revival. I believe myself that as this man called Isaac, the Bible says there was famine in the land. The book of is Genesis chapter 26. There was famine in the land. And Isaac retraced the steps of his father. He retraced the steps of his father in the northwest. And in the northwest, he found there were wells his father had dug. And those is what captured his heart that he needs for this famine, which is so much there, for there to be survival of the famine, then he needs to redig the wells of his fathers. And this is the place where my heart is, that God in this era is calling Isaac to retrace the steps of their fathers. That we need to be able to look at where our fathers, how they went, and how where they dug the wells. And the Bible says, Isaac dug again the wells of water, which had been dug in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. The Philistine had put soil. The Philistine had realized his life in those wells. That those are the connection, the point of connection. The connection of life is in the well. Today, the biggest challenge we have, not only England, but the entire world today, is that the church is not having the well, the fountain of life. That people are coming to church and they are not finding life. In fact, some people, young people are saying they are joining Islam because they are not finding life in the church. And that is a challenge to us, that God must help us, even at this time, to dig again those wells. And the Bible says he dug one and they took it away and there was strife, and they dug the next one. He never got tired of digging that well. And the third one, he called it Rebuath. And he said, Lord has made a room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. When you dig the well and it comes out, water comes out, it will be water not for yourself. In fact, one of the wells which challenged me is the well of Jacob, because it has been there for 1,800 years. And it was giving life. And it was the same place the Samaritan woman met Jesus. That when we dig wells, they will not only touch our generation, but even the generation to come will receive life from the same well. And that is what the Lord is encouraging us. There is resistance. There is difficult. There are rocks to be broken. But I pray that the Lord will bring us hunger and thirst of digging wells of living water in this land. Because that will give life to our children, to the generation. And one of the things which I'll close with, because I must close now, I'll be talking about results of the wells when they are open, when those wells are open. I just want to let you know, England, UK, there are many wells of revival which were dark in the past. by the church fathers. And I was just shocked when he talked to me about Whitefield, that he was just around here. Whitefield, yeah. Just here. Yeah. Like the Wesleys, the Whitfield, the Winksmoth, and others. The Wells have just been filled with rubbish. Okay? They have been filled with rubbish and soil. But the fountain is still there underground. And I believe it will only take an Isaac to remove the rubbish and to take the soil out, that the fountain of the well can be able to flow and reach out to the nations and to the generation. Shall we stand in prayer by the grace of God? Hallelujah. Yes?
How do we take the soil out?
Okay, good. Let me then say something. I have it here. I have it here. I wanted to leave that for tomorrow. I was told a good preach always leaves something for tomorrow. let me give you a lifeline. Okay. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you because it's very critical. It's called the process of digging the well. Okay? The first thing which begins is dust. Yes. Dust. Dust. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Every place where they dug well, there's dust came out. Famine. Like what we have now. That is the beginning. And then the second thing, persistent, consistent prayer. Persistent, consistent prayer of a small group, not a big group. One, two people, three people, gathering every day, a particular time to take away the soil in prayer. That is the second thing. The third thing, which will be needed, is as they dig, there will be more dust. Yeah. As they dig, as they pray, they will feel more hunger to dig. The third thing is prophetic word. Prophetic surge is needed to encourage. In the process of digging, there will be discouragement. And therefore, there is need for prophetic. The prophetic is so important. Okay? And today, the church needs to embrace the prophetic. Because we are not going to go very far unless we embrace the prophetic. Okay? The prophetic word must continue coming. That yes, the Lord is saying continue. Because you reach to a place, the rock becomes so hard. But we must embrace the prophetic, because the prophetic word will still come. The word of God, it has to come. And that is, it may not be a prophecy, but the word, even the word of God itself, is so powerful. It must continue being stirring the people. The stirring of the people of the word is so critical. And the next one is you expect demonic resistance. You expect demonic resistance because the enemy will never allow you to get the water. You remember the water, which David sent for the water for himself. It was guarded. Wells are usually guarded. Guarded. There is protection. Yeah, praise God. Holy Spirit, help me. Guarded. And so, there must be strong men to continue fighting. There must be a fighting. Let me say to you that the place of digging the well is a place of martyrdom. It's a place of death. Many people have died Digging wells. Digging wells is a place where you must lay your life down. You cannot be able to get the water unless you lay your life down. It is not something for the weak-hearted. It is not something for people who have another option. It is for people who have no option that they have desired to see the well. And so that resistance is there. And the last one is worship. Worship. I was very happy when I found worship here. And I say something is happening. Good. Amen. The book of Numbers, the Bible 21, 16 to 18, they asked for water in the wilderness. And when they asked for water, then the Bible says they sang a song. And that is what is so important, that the process of digging the well, there must be worship, deep worship. Will release the presence of God to help in the digging of the well. Okay? And then there will be need of destruction of the altars. There may be altars which may hinder the digging. Altars. Altars of the Titan. They may be there to hinder. Okay? And there may be need to destroy, like Gideon was told to go and destroy the altars of his fathers. There may be need. God may, and you remember by Jesus, Simon, when Paul was preaching, and this man was holding and resisting, and he became an altar, he became a resistance. There may be things God wants you to deal with in the process. Because even in churches and communities, they are what we call the strong men. The strong men may be there to oppose the digging of the well. But God, by prophetic word, may be able to give you to understand what is a strong man. Numbers 21, 16 to 18. Yes. And the last one is you must refuse to give up. You must refuse to give up. Sometime in the process of digging, there will be like some water which will come out. But don't be lied. It could be water which was just between rocks. It may not be the fountain, but rainwater between the rocks. Okay? But you must be prepared to move to the very end. Hallelujah. What a blessing. I see some people here that God is calling you to be a champion of the digging of the well of revival. And I pray to God tonight as God, Father, let there be champions in this meeting who are going to champion the digging of the wells of revival. That the life remaining now, the life which is remaining now, you are saying, Lord, I have no other business in this world but to live a well, which will touch generations and generations to come. I don't know you, the Lord knows you, but the Lord is speaking to you that you are one of them who is going to champion the removing of the soil and raising a well. Hallelujah. And the people will say, the prostitutes will say, are you greater than Jacob who gave us this well? In the generation to come, you will be there touching lives. Shall we stand in prayer? I want to pray with you. Somebody raising his hand saying, Lord, I want to be a champion. I want to be able to dig the well of revival in my time. Hallelujah. 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 Father God, you are looking for men and women who, in our time, Lord, will risk their lives, will sacrifice their lives to dig the wells of revival for their generation and for the generation to come. Father, I know in this meeting there are men and women who are champions, who are going to champion the digging of the well. I ask you, Lord, that the anointing that was upon Isaac of digging the wells of his fathers shall come upon their lives. That God, great hunger and thirst for revival shall come upon them, Lord. And they shall move from the comfort zone, O Lord, to a place of persistent and consistent prayer, mobilizing men and women to dig the wells. Father, in this land there are wells which were dug by the fathers. There are wells which, Lord, are full of rubbish and soil. Father, I pray by the prophetic word that, Lord, you may lead your people to dig, to remove the rubbish and the soil. The Lord God, they may be able to open the fountain of the waters of revival for this nation and, Lord, for Europe, for the glory and the honor of your name. I pray, Lord, for anger and thirst. Lord, you know our state, oh God. We are poor. We are wretched. We are naked, oh Lord. We come to you, Lord, that you may clothe us. And it is only through revival that we can be clothed with the riches, Lord, with the garment, and that our eyes may be open, oh Lord, to see. Father, I pray for the opening of the eyes of the people to see what you have there for them. I ask, Lord, for an open heaven. Let there be an open heaven. Lord, I pray for an open heaven. In Revelation chapter 4, the Bible talks about an open heaven. And I pray for an open heaven in the name of the Lord. The Lord will give you an open heaven that you'll be able to enter and see the things the Lord God is laying for you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray. I want to ask. There could be somebody here, you have never given your life to Jesus. Or the life that you are living today is not dedicated to God. And this prayer, you are saying, servant of God, pray for me. Come, I welcome you. I invite you to come and dedicate your life to God. Hallelujah. That's the first people I want to ask. The second group of people, I want to ask those who are saying, I am taking a step. I'm taking a step to be able to raise my spiritual life, to be used of God to bring revival in my time. I'm prepared to pay the price. Just take a step of faith and come. Just as I am without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me, and now thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
So if you want to consecrate your life, just come. You can
just
kneel at the front.
As I
give yourself to this.
Without one plea, well, but thy
blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me come to thee, Lamb of God, I come.
Father God, these men and women, hallelujah, the Spirit of God is laying a word concerning one of you. Just receive the word of God, that you have been thinking you are very far from God, but God is restoring you. God is restoring you, and God is going to use you. The Lord is not over with you. Father, I pray, dedicating the people to your presence, O Lord, asking you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that Father, you may receive them. You use them as vessels. They dedicate their lives to you, Lord. They lay it before you. Take their lives, O Lord. And let their lives, O God, be consecrated to God. Father, as vessels that you're going to use, O God, for revival, they must be consecrated to you. And therefore, Lord, I pray for the consecration of their lives unto you, Lord, to seek you. Let the anger of God and the thirst of God come upon them mightily in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God Almighty, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, let the anger of God, the thirst of God come upon their hearts, oh Lord, desiring you. Lord, revive their prayer lives. Revive their calling on you, Lord. Revive their desire for you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Separate them, Lord, from anything that can hold them anymore. And I pray, Lord, let there be today be a new beginning. A new beginning with the Lord. Let there be an open heaven, Lord, that they can see you. That, Lord, they can be able to experience you. And Lord God, I dedicate them to serve you. To serve you, Lord. To serve you, Lord. All the days of their lives to bring revival. Father, I dedicate them to you. I dedicate them to you, Lord. Men of God. Hallelujah. Some of them, Lord, you are calling them for a greater assignment. I pray, oh God, for the assignment before them. Oh God, the assignment. The Lord, you are going to cause them to receive the revival, to achieve the accomplishment and the assignment before them, Lord. Let the pouring of the oil and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God come upon their lives. Oh Lord, I pray, release the anointing of God upon their lives. Release the anointing of God upon their lives in Jesus' name.